Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Technograph Industries India Limited Q1 FY26 post-results earnings conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Purva Jhawar from Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Nidhi. On behalf of B&K Securities, we welcome you all to the Q1 FY26 conference call of Technograph Industries India Limited. From the management side, we have Mr. Navneet Kumar Saraf, Director and CEO, Mr. Ashish Kumar Saraf, Director and CFO, and Mr. Anil Gadodia, Group CFO. I'll now hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks, followed by the Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Yes, thank you, and a very good morning to all the participants on this Q1 investor call of Technograph Industries India Limited. We are looking forward to an engaging discussion. Overall, it's been, I would say, a fairly stable quarter given the very turbulent economic climate led by geopolitical disturbances worldwide. Obviously, one of the main factors contributing is this U.S. tariff on products on which Technograph is also impacted, given our strong exposure to the U.S. So we will, I'm sure there will be a lot of questions pertaining to that, so we'll be happy to discuss. So welcome again, and we can now start the call. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Chetan Vora from Abakkus Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Sir, would like to understand your comment on the scaffolding demand environment?
Yes. So the scaffolding demand environment, particularly in the U.S., is currently challenging. This is also reflected in our first quarter result, where we have seen on the preceding quarter-on-quarter a flat performance in sales as well as profitability. This is mainly on account of actually due to various changes in tariffs that have been going on since April. There has been some slowdown. Customers are on hold mode. What we are seeing is that there is a delay and pushback in procurement happening in the industry. Amongst all these things, so one of the positives is that we are not seeing cancellations of capital projects. So we are seeing that there are projects awarded and that are going to go forward, but there is being a pushback, and customers are only buying what they need immediately as compared to buying anytime in advance. They are increasing utilization of their scaffolding, so they are buying later. So all those things are going on. Having said that, the impact on U.S. tariff is actually not so bad for our scaffolding division because we are not subjected to this additional 25% Russian penalty that has been levied. We are subjected to the 50% steel tariff that has been going on since February, and that is applicable to all countries with the exception of the U.K., which is not even a competitor. And then we have the reciprocal tariff, which is increased from 10% to 25% on India. So we are still lower as compared to China, which is our biggest competitor in the US as far as tariff is concerned. So we have no concerns about being able to pass on the tariffs to our customers, and the customers are, you know, there's no competition as such from local production in the US as well. The effective tariff for us on scaffolding at this point is about 35%, which is quite manageable. But the concern is that what, you know, this is definitely causing some disruption in the demand environment, which I think will be short term, but it's difficult to say for how long. We are, you know, coming quarter, July to September is traditionally the busy season in the US in the industrial sector. So on one hand, we are hoping for a pickup in demand, but it's, you know, there's also a little question mark on what the tariff does. So that's as far as US is concerned. Outside the US, it's positive. We are seeing, you know, no change in the demand environment in India. India, the demand is robust for our formwork products, and also the demand is quite strong in the Middle East, which is our other important market, and that's growing substantially, the UAE, Saudi Arabia, and that region. And the rest of the countries are steady. So this is a snapshot of the demand environment.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. But now the situation has only worsened, right, post the quarter one. And the tariff, what he has been talking about, has those tariffs been implemented, or it is just the right now at the uncertainty level at what the effective rate would be?
Certainly the situation is worse than what it was in quarter one. It has deteriorated in July and August. As far as implemented, so the increase in reciprocal tariff from 10 to 25 has been implemented with effect from August 10th. So shipments that have sailed after August 10th, once they arrive in the US, they are going to be subject to 25% tariff. That additional 25% is expected to get implemented from 27th of August.
Mm-hmm.
That too on 27th August for shipments sailing after 27th August, not arriving.
The shipment of... Okay, and the busy period what you talked about from July to October, November, and now we are in that busy period. So the demand will be certainly getting affected, right?
Yes, it will be getting affected.
Okay, and sir, as you were talking about in the last call, that you know, the new year, newly plant has been commissioned. So this year we are looking out for the revenue of 400 crores from those plant and plus 10% organic growth for the scaffolding and with a profitability of exit margin of 20%. Where do we stand in those guidance, sir?
So the new plant is actually fully commissioned. So that part is actually doing quite well. Our Aurangabad plant is now at about 75% capacity and should get to close to 90-95% in August and September. So that part is quite good. Unfortunately, I have a concern that the increase in our formwork business that we are expecting this year may be slightly negated by a decrease in our scaffolding business if the demand environment in the US continues to be sluggish. So that is the only concern. But yes, the Aurangabad plant is not catered for the US scaffolding business. That's entirely for domestic consumption. And there we are on track.
So 400 crores of revenue will be getting approved. But the
10%
organic growth...
There we are on track. The Mac 1 sales, which was, out of our total sale of 1,300 crores in the last fiscal year, Mac 1 was about 520. So we are on track to see Mac 1 increase to about 900 crores this year. That part, on the back of the increase in Aurangabad. That part we are on track. Where there could be a change is, you know, the scaffolding sales, which was about 800 crores, little less than 800 crores last year. There we could actually see a degrowth this year.
And what are the degrowth we are working with as of now?
Very difficult to predict right now because we are in such a turbulent environment. First quarter was actually flat. First quarter we did not see much of a degrowth. It was actually flat. Maybe about 20 crores kind of a degrowth. But you know, this quarter actually we were expecting a significant increase, because of projects, capital projects that we know have been awarded, but those may not happen. Those can get pushed in subsequent quarters. But you know, it's a very dynamic environment. It's very difficult to at this point in time give a guidance on whether there will be a degrowth. There may not be. If there is, how much? Very difficult to give that kind of a guidance right now, as you can appreciate.
Really perfectly appreciated, right, sir. So, yeah. Lastly, in terms of the if the revenues are affected, obviously because of the negative operating leverage, the margins also will be getting affected, right? That is a logical thing, right, sir? The margins,
yes.
We were expecting the improvement of the scaffolding on the lower base of last year.
Yeah, if there is a degrowth in sales, obviously the margins will get affected because, you know, our overhead costs are high. So the overhead costs don't get absorbed fully.
Right. But that is the one respecting factor is that the formwork, which has been seeing a good response from the new plant. So the new plant incremental sales will be getting offset by the decline in the scaffolding sales, right? So broadly, on a YOY basis, we should be seeing a nominal growth rate and not the growth rate what we were expecting earlier.
Yes, yes. I mean, the good news is that because we have a diversified product base and geography, and because of our almost 50% sales in India, we are currently not seeing India business being affected. And in fact, we are seeing India business growing. So, you know, I think, I hope that this turbulence in the US is short term. Doesn't last too long, and even if it gets serious, I don't think the degrowth will exceed the growth in India. So we should, at a worst case scenario, we should at least be flat. We should not see any decline. We should at least be flat, or we should at least see some small growth over 25-26.
Right, sir. And sir, lastly, what is this other income about, which is like close to 40 crores, 39 crores? And which was like 30 crores.
Mr. Anil Garodia will answer that. Yeah,
yeah, the other income of around 39 CR consists of mark to market of investment that we have around 22 crores and forex gain and loss are of gain of 8.5 crores. So these are the two major costs. Yeah.
And in the segmental thing, where it would be sitting, this other income? In the down closure or where it would be sitting?
No. It will be in unallocated.
Both these things, yeah?
Yeah, both the things. 19.6 crore, if you see, unallocable net after expenses. That's the income, 19.60 crores.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aegis Lakhani from Unify AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I am fairly new to your company, but I've had the chance to look at, you know, your history and, you know, the growth outlook. I have one overarching structural question and three semantics on the business. So would you prefer I ask you everything in one shot or go one by one?
Either way is fine. Whatever you prefer.
Okay. So, sir, I'll start with my overarching question. So, sir, see, as the my understanding is that the drum closure business, which is a fairly mature business and is growing at lower rates and generates a very high ROCE, you know, from that pool of cash flow that you had, you built out the scaffolding and formwork business, which is a relatively more higher growing business, but is weaker on the ROCE side, you know, with, you know, 15% give or take, depending on the year, the ROCE margin profile. And then also coupled with that, given that it's a much smaller size of the business, the engineering business again has a high ROCE and maybe the potential for, you know, incremental growth coming from that segment. So my query is that given that your ROCE profile of the drum closure is so attractive, you've chosen to build out the scaffolding and engineering and textile I'll just come to in a bit. But what I'm trying to understand is that given the mix of your businesses, as the growth sort of kicks in, and it's coming more from scaffolding given just the size of that piece in the overall scheme of things, Is it a fair assessment that the ROCE profile, which is what it is today, will gradually start declining as the share of the scaffolding increases?
Sure. So I can answer that question first then, before you go on to the other segmental question. So, look, I think as far as the observation regarding how and why we built the scaffolding business. So, you know, the scaffolding business has not been built using cash flows generated by the drum closure business. Actually, if you go back and see the history, the scaffolding started as a contract manufacturing business, and margins single digit for a long time, till about 2014-2015.
Then we... But your audio is breaking.
It's from other side.
Sorry, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Much better.
Oh, okay. So, from 2015 onwards, when we started our own distribution model, the margins in scaffolding increased. Now, yes, the scaffolding business ROCE will definitely be lower than drum closure business. It's, as you rightly observed, it's actually in the 15-20%. Our target is 20%. We have been averaging 15% give or take in certain years because of localized factors. The business is in also growth mode. So what happens is, as we are investing and building up assets and working capital, there is a lag between investing and seeing the returns of 1 or 2 years. So, because the business is in that growth mode, we have not been averaging consistently 20% ROCE. We've been averaging 15% ROCE. Plus, there have been in the last couple of years, you know, local disruptions like this tariff now, freight, and so on. Having said that, yes, the rationale is that as the scaffolding business grows, obviously, the average ROCE will come down. It will not be at the high 30, you know, at the late high 20s, 25-26% that we have for the group. It will be in the lower 20%. I mean, right now, that's where we see the average ROCE being. Our target internally is 20%. We would like to have an average ROCE of 20%. Now, what will also happen is that, you know, the growth that in the scaffolding and formwork business is having is primarily driven by formwork. Scaffolding, we are almost close to peak levels. Now, the scaffolding business is the one where we have our own distribution model, which requires us to have high inventories. Formwork business is primarily domestic and Middle East, and it's made to order. So it doesn't require the kind of investment in working capital that the access scaffolding business requires. So as the percentage of formwork business increases from current levels of 40% to about 65-70% in the next 3 years, the ROCE effectively of the scaffolding formwork business will also increase from 15% to 20%. Drum closure will continue to be at high ROCE. So, therefore, as a group, we will be about 20% ROCE. The engineering design services is also a high ROCE business. That obviously doesn't need any working capital. In fact, that doesn't even need any investment. So, it's not like, you know, we are requiring cash input for that business to grow. And in the short, in the midterm, next 4-5 years, yes, the scaffolding business will be driving the, you know, the lion's share of the growth. But actually, beyond that, we see the engineering services business also becoming very sizable. And if I see the next 10 years, that is going to be a very sizable part of our portfolio, given the overall, you know, marketplace. I mean, the engineering business has seen substantial growth in last 5 years. And we are still small compared to some of the large peers like LTTS and Quest and Scient and so on. And we are exactly in that market space. So we see this business actually becoming a very dominant part, over 1,000 crores over the next, 5 to 6 years. And So yes, to answer your question, while the average ROC will definitely come down, but not below 20% based on the kind of growth that we are expecting and the business mix of the scaffolding business, which is more formwork, less scaffolding.
Understood. And so just a quick follow-up on that response. So formwork, out of the 1,200 crore from this segment that we report, give or take, of scaffolding and formwork, today the mix is 40% formwork, 60% scaffolding, and you're saying that formworks will start to incrementally drive growth, which will help the ROC profile of this segment. Is that
precisely
understanding correct?
Yes, perfectly.
Understood. Perfect. Perfect. So next is, I'm just seeking more color regarding the engineering services business. So is this, again, like the others, pure FTE model? Do you have on-site engineers? How do we compete, especially given that there are large established players? So, why will customers really choose us over those cohort of large, well-established customers? And also that we have 84% ownership of the sub, right? So what is the, how is that come into existence? Do we intend to take it to 100%? Could you give more color on this entire segment? And also, do we intend to get somebody from the industry to run this piece? Who runs this piece? How do you expect it to deliver the growth that you just spoke about?
So this is an ER&D business, and it's a focused ER&D business which provides engineering and product development services in various verticals like industrial, transportation, machinery, etc. We do not do commercial software development like many of the other IT companies do. We are focused on ER&D. Now, yes, there are some large established players in the ER&D segment like L&T Technology Services and Cyient and so on. But, their share, even with those players, I think this is a segment that is very much in its infancy. It is far from maturity level, and the overall share of Indian companies is minuscule compared to the global spend in this segment. Countries like US, UK, Western Europe, Japan are having huge shortages of engineering talent, and so therefore India has a very sweet spot in this segment. We also compete with a lot of domestic companies in these countries where we operate in, and so that's a large segment of business that is there. How we have been able to get established and get our foot in is, when we started this company, we focused on sectors outside the traditional sectors like automotive, which some of these large companies focus on. We stayed away from the passenger car segment, which was very crowded, and we as a group did not have domain expertise in the passenger car segment. So, a company like Mahindra or Tata, for example, can make large inroads in that segment. But we didn't go. We went after segments like machinery and industrial products, where the competition was more local players. And as a result, our growth was slower because the size of customers was smaller. But we built our profile, we built our team, we built our references. In the last 4 years, after the company reached just about 100 crores in revenue, which was 4 years ago, we expanded our sales team, we recruited senior professionals from L&T and other companies in the US, we created verticals, we recruited vertical heads with domain expertise, and they are the ones who are running the company now. So we have a very seasoned, experienced leadership in sales delivery in this company now, as the company is growing. And now we are also targeting the large accounts. Now we are competing with the big players, and we have been able to successfully make inroads, which is what gives us the confidence that the growth will be faster and higher in this business, because it's always more tedious to get from zero to a base of 100 crores. But then once you get that base, then the momentum becomes stronger. So we are in that phase right now.
Understood. And so basically our focus continues to be machinery and industrial applications and products. Is that correct?
We have seven verticals: industrial products, transportation, machinery, plant engineering, medical devices.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And you have experienced sort of people who have joined you are now building the business, and you've invested in this segment for the last 2 years.
Absolutely.
From a sales and marketing perspective.
And delivery.
And delivery. Okay, understood. And so just on that query of why do customers really choose us? And what is the reason behind the 84% ownership?
Yeah, so 84% is owned by Technocraft. 8% is owned by promoters of Technocraft. And then there is about 7% that is held by an individual who used to be in a senior managerial position in the company. He used to be the CEO of this company till 2020. He's based in the US, and then he had to leave due to certain health and personal reasons. So, but he continues to have that 7% stake. But he's not involved in the operations or management of the company anymore. So,
okay,
other than that 7%, we are controlling 90%.
Understood. And sir, the individual that held the 7%, the ex-CEO.
May I request you to rejoin the queue for the follow-up question?
Sure. I'll just complete this follow-up question and rejoin if that's okay.
Thanks. Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Jay Jain from Astute. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. I wanted to know what is the effect of the tariffs on different segments individually, like scaffolding. And also you mentioned that scaffolding is already covered under the general tariff of steel and aluminium. So what will be the precise number which we should work with?
So on the scaffolding, currently the tariff without considering the Russian oil tariff is 23%. That is the tariff that is applicable on the finished product value reaching the US. That is based on a combination of the 50% tariff on the steel content and 25% reciprocal tariff on the residual content of the product. If the Russian oil tariff gets into effect on 27th August, then the effective tariff on scaffolding will increase to 34%. On drum closures, currently we are at 27.6%, which will increase to 52.6% if the Russian tariff gets into effect. Same situation in textiles. It's currently at 25%, which will increase to 50% if the Russian tariff gets into effect.
So, with the new tariff, if they come into effect, it would be almost impossible to do drum closures and textile. Am I right in assuming that?
Yes, so I'll answer it segment by segment. So, drum closure, no. Drum closure, our sales realizations are actually quite high in the US. We have currently taken a decision, we are not going to compromise on our market share in the US. So in the short term, we have taken a decision that should the 25% Russian tariff come in, we will not pass that on. We will take that, we are comfortably able to pass on 27.6% in the drum closure segment to the customers, but we will not pass on the additional 25%, primarily because our main competition is from the EU, and the tariff on the EU is 15%. For drum closures. Our competitors are based. So at 52.6, we feel we'll, be at a disadvantage. So therefore, if that 25% comes in, we'll absorb it. So there will be an impact to that extent on the profitability of the drum closure sales in the short term. We expect that 25% Russian tariff is going to be short-lived. We don't expect that to be there for a long term. Should that be there for a long term, we are in wait and watch mode, then obviously we will look to move to alternate manufacturing locations as a possibility to save ourselves from that incremental 25%. That's as far as the drum closure division is concerned. That's our strategy. Scaffolding we are able to pass on, so no concerns on that. Textiles is a problem. Textiles certainly 50% is not something we'll be able to pass on. So we will see our sales to the US stopping, and we are watching the situation closely. Again, if that 25% goes away, then the situation will be better. If not, we will look at diversifying the manufacturing. You want to add something?
To understand, what will happen to most of these businesses? Are you planning, as you mentioned, you'll probably take a call about manufacturing at other locations. But competitively, what will be your position and what is the percentage of your total revenue in each segment to the US?
Drum closure about 30. Yeah, so drum closure about 30% of our total sales is in the US. And scaffolding about 40% of total sales is in the US. And textile about 25-30% is also in the US.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Avnish Tiwari from Vaikarya. Please go ahead.
Hi. On this scaffolding, you just explained the tariffs. So even with the Russian-linked tariff, you are leading to 34%. So you will still be much lower than what China is getting today. So you should not have a problem there in terms of passing it on, right? Is that understanding correct?
Yes. That's correct.
And when you're exporting the scaffolding to US, the steel you are buying, can you buy it imported versus free of duties? Or you have to buy it domestically, hence you're disadvantaged on the price of the steel?
We are buying domestically and there is no disadvantage. Actually, imported steel is a lot more expensive. Currently, if you are manufacturing in India, it's cheapest to buy Indian steel. There is now a safeguard duty in India on imported steel.
But you're buying for export purpose, then I think these duties are exempted or not paid.
No. We are not only buying for export purposes. We are also selling a lot in the US, plus in India, sorry. Plus, we have special grades. So we can't just buy commercial grade steel. We have worked with JSW and developed special grades that can be used for our scaffolding products because of certain technical requirements. And the relationship with JSW is more than 20 years old. So it's very difficult for us to change that. So, we are not looking, we don't buy imported steel.
In the engineering division, which segment are you experiencing very good order flows and type of work you are doing? Can you just give us a segment where you are seeing a strong demand pull over last quarter and as you go forward?
Industrial products and machinery and transportation, these three have been our dominant segments in the last 4 years. So more than 75-80% of the engineering service revenues comes from these three verticals. We added plant engineering only last year. And so that is now seeing substantial growth over 100% because that's a new vertical and there we have very large multi-billion dollar type of customers. So that's something where I think that will drive future growth in that. That's how it is.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chintan Modi from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity. So I wanted to understand your foamwork business, the Mark 1. If you could help us understand that, I understand that it's a high growth business and this is where the customer adopts to this technology. So what are the key drivers for the customer to move to this technology? What are his constraints, and how fast you see this changing across India? How this business is more from let's say an opportunity wise that you look at, and whether this is a geographically constrained business? This would be very helpful if you could explain it.
Sure. So Mac 1 is our aluminium formwork system, and it's based on monolithic casting. It is being widely adopted in India and other developing countries, mainly because one is it saves labor. Construction is in India has historically been done in a very laborious way, and availability of labor is more and more becoming a constraint. Second is it reduces the construction time by increasing the speed of construction, because you are pouring the concrete and the panels are basically making you being able to pour an entire floor at one time, called monolithic casting. So that speeds up the construction process. And the third thing is the finish. The quality that you get is much better. Doesn't require plastering, so it saves an additional operation. So these three are the main driving forces that is increasing the adoption of this technology. This technology was introduced in India almost 20 years back. It was earlier 100% imported from company based in Malaysia. And then, in the last 10 years, we have seen domestic players come in and start introducing systems based on this technology like Mac 1. Now we are seeing this becoming almost like a de facto standard in amongst developers in India. Architects are subscribing this technology in their specifications. So in at least the metros and the tier 1 cities, so it's become a de facto standard. And tier 2, tier 3 cities are now also waking up to it. So I think there is still a lot of market left in India to adopt this. And these are the three main driving factors.
So, understood. So when you see that... Hello.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So... this is going to be higher than the scaffolding business, which is probably about 20% today. So I assume the ROC in this business would be higher than 20%. So you would be confident to reinvest that back into the business and keep growing at a much higher pace over, say, next 5 to 10 years?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's really what we have done, and that's our strategy, because currently we are not able to export this. We don't have enough capacity. Even with the increased capacity that we have done in Aurangabad, the lion's share of that is still being absorbed domestically. So there is a big market here. There's also a large market in Saudi Arabia, South America, Africa. So yes, absolutely. We see a good possibility here of doing 4x growth.
Understood. And what is the market structure today in India in terms of competition?
So, there are several companies. I mean, there are obviously some international companies from Malaysia, South Korea, Europe that import the product in. Then now there are Indian companies. So other than Technocraft, there are a couple of companies at the same scale as Technocraft for aluminium formwork. There's a company called K-Nest based out of Pune, which is quite a prominent player. And then there are probably 20 plus small-sized companies that are catering to this segment as well, companies doing under 100 crores of turnover. And there's demand for all of them. Each of them operates at different price levels and based on their brand recognition. But the market is able to absorb all of them and growing.
Understood. And one last question on the same thing.
Sir, sorry to interrupt, but I request you to come back for the follow-up question.
Sure, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I request you to please limit your questions to two per participant. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Purva Zavar from Batliwala and Karana Securities India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. I had a question on scaffolding and formwork division. So you mentioned that scaffolding revenue was somewhat constant Y&Y in the quarter and the formwork saw very good growth. So what led to this 8% decline? And also when I look at your volumes for June 24 and June 25, they have grown in each of the segments. So what has led to realization drop for the same? That's it.
Firstly, the decline of 8% in revenue overall was mainly because the decline in scaffolding revenue was more than the increase in formwork revenue. I mean, our overall in this quarter compared to the same quarter period last year, our revenue you know, in scaffolding mainly on account of sales in the U.S., through our U.S. subsidiary was lower. I don't have the exact percentage of how much the U.S. subsidiary sales was lower, but it was more than 10% for sure. And formwork, the sales was higher, you know, definitely compared to the last quarter. So that was the reason for net Y on Y at a net level, the realization. This is based on the quantity. And based on realization, I don't think there has been a substantial effect in the price realization. I don't have actual realization numbers on quarter-on-quarter basis. But I don't see there is a significant difference in realization. But we can give those to you separately.
Okay, sure. Thank you, sir. That's it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Kumar from Vekarya. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So on the U.S. scaffolding business, you mentioned that you are seeing some challenges in terms of demand. So can you elaborate which industry or sub-industry are showing the highest delay in the purchase of this scaffolding?
Well, but you know, our largest share is in the industrial services sector. So the industrial services driven by industries like LNG, power, petrochemicals, refineries, and also some of the high-tech industries where the demand is very strong actually, like semiconductor plants, etc., they are all actually deferring or delaying purchases. And like I said, we have not yet encountered any cancellation of projects, but we are seeing delays. So these are the industries.
Okay. Okay. And again, on the U.S. scaffolding business only, what is the profitability? How has it, you know, moved, let's say, versus last quarter and in this quarter?
See, we don't report separately U.S. profitability. I mean, the U.S. profitability is not something that it's on consolidated basis. But there has been a decline, I would say, overall because the sales have been down.
Okay. 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 And on the Mac 1 business, what was the capacity utilization in this quarter for the new plant and the old plant?
Yeah, so old plant has been running at 95% and the new plant in Aurangabad this quarter has been about 60%, close to 65%, 60-65%.
Okay, okay. Okay, okay, yeah, that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kaushik Mohan from Ashika Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Sir, I just wanted to understand one single thing. Do we have any impact from the recent tariffs on our inventory that we have currently?
No impact on the inventory.
No impact on the inventory. Okay,
no.
Thanks. That's
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Riya Mehta from Equitas. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me an opportunity. So my first question is in regard to MacOne. So are we seeing 900 crores of revenue in FY26 from MacOne?
Yes, that's correct.
So total would be 900. That would be our target. And what kind of order book are we currently sitting at? How many months of orders are still there with us?
We are currently sitting on about, in terms of square meters, about 3.5 lakh square meters. So that is, you know, I think in terms of crores times 10,000. So 350 crores of order book.
Okay. And that would be around 6 months, 6 to 9 months?
That would be 350 crores is roughly about 4 months.
4 months. Okay. And have you seen any slowdown in the inquiry pipeline of firm work, or is it still robust and growing?
Oh, no.
And what would...
Not at all. The inquiry pipeline is very robust and growing.
Inquiry pipeline is strong. Good to know that. And in terms of scaffolding, what I understand is 40% is US. The rest 40% would be India?
40% of total segment is US. Of only the scaffolding segment, 70% is US.
Okay, 70% would be US.
Yes.
Okay.
And the remaining 30% is largely Middle East, followed by Australia, New Zealand, Africa, some India, some Europe, UK, all these countries.
Got it. Got it. And in this Q1, we've not seen much tariff impact in our revenues coming in scaffolding, right?
No, no, we have seen, no, because the decline in scaffolding revenues in the US is mainly on account of tariff.
So, for the current quarter, how much would be the impact of revenue in US?
See, our sales in the US this quarter, I don't have the exact numbers, but my preliminary estimate is that our sales this quarter, April to June, are down about 35% compared to the last quarter in the US.
Got it. On a QOQ basis.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Got it. In terms of engineering division, which we are very gung-ho of, I remember last two quarters we were saying that the expense has been front-loaded. Are we seeing incrementally, are we still investing in that, or are we will be waiting till we see the operating leverage play out? What is our strategy there?
Oh, so we are investing still. I mean, yes, last year we had invested in, and we are seeing the effect of that in this quarter where the revenue and profitability is higher. We have just opened an office in Japan, which is a new territory for us. So that's a new initiative we've taken. We've hired a business development head there, and we've also partnered with a local company there. So that's the fresh investment we've made, which will happen over the course of this year. And Japan takes time. So, you know, we are, but over the next 2 to 3 years, we are looking to build up that market, which is the next substantial market after the US.
Okay. There is no impact in engineering division. We are seeing...
But I request you to come back for the follow-up question.
Sure, sure. That works.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Avinash Tiwari from Vaikarya. Please go ahead.
Hi. Can you quantify this plant engineering revenue you might be clocking right now, either quarterly or annually? I know it's a small division for you within engineering.
Sorry, I wouldn't be able to give you that number right now. We can give it to you separately offline because we don't track industry vertical.
What will be your strategy in textile if you were to experience a sales drop in US significantly, and it's already a business which is not profitable right now? So how would you revisit this division? How would you tackle the situation if this 50% or even 25% were to continue as a sustainable measure?
We are exploring the possibility of doing some manufacturing outside India, especially for the apparel, the finished product segment, so that, you know, our fabric can be shipped from here and we get it converted in some other geography.
Right. So you are looking at forward integration into garmenting, where fabric goes from your current locations and you forward integrate into garmenting and sell it to US or anywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Because the business that is impacted due to tariff is our garmenting business. So to tide over that, this is what we are trying to think of now.
And how much time it will take you to transition into this, and what happens to the costs you have right now in India on garmenting side?
So we are trying to explore other markets for our manufacturing facilities that are already installed in India. We are now aggressively looking at other markets like Europe and UK, and even the domestic market, which is quite big. So we are, you know, aggressively going after these markets to ensure that our lines are fully fed.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ruchit Agarwal from Unifi Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I hope I'm audible, right?
Yeah, yeah, you
yes,
are.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Great. Sir, a question on the scaffolding division. So, could you give us some color on the price differential on, let's say, the product out of a China facility and out of our facility? And how does the price differential land up at, let's say, the US distribution center? And another point, we had earlier alluded to Europe being a driver for us in the scaffolding. So where are we on that in terms of timeline, and what kind of size do we see for scaffolding in Europe in particular?
So firstly, the tariff difference on scaffolding between China and India currently is about 45% on the finished product value. So we have a 40, even considering if that higher Russian tariff is imposed, we will still be about 45% lesser tariff in the US. China has a cost advantage due to lower steel cost than India of about 15%. So factoring in that cost advantage, net-net, China is about 30% more expensive than India as far as the scaffolding is concerned. That was the answer to your first question. And then as far as Europe is concerned, so there we are making progress. After we got the certification, we have started to sell our scaffolding products in Poland. These are products that we were not selling earlier. So clearly the certification is helping us. Unfortunately, the market in Europe is still soft. It is still reeling from the Russia-Ukraine war, and construction industry has not picked up the way it needs to be picked up. We are hopeful that that will change in the second half of this year, or again, now with the trade war, again, we don't know if it will get delayed, but we are confident that eventually the markets will pick up. So we are focused on Europe. We have sales and distribution presence in Poland, and so things are on track.
Sir, and any revision in terms of guidance, let's say segmentally or as a group, in terms of margins and both growth?
Look, as I said earlier, it is difficult to give a guidance at this point because of the turbulence that's happening in the demand environment with tariffs. What I can say with reasonable confidence is that we are on track for the 400 crore increase in our Mach 1 business this year, because that's all India based. That is backed by order books and that is backed by production capacity. What I cannot say is how much degrowth, if any, we may have in some of the scaffolding export markets led by the US. So it's kind of a quarter-on-quarter situation right now, where we have to, take it as it comes.
And sir, would it be fair to assume that the margin guidance stays intact, at least for the Mark 1 business?
Yes, that will stay intact.
Okay, sure, sir. I'll join back in with you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshay from Envision. Please go ahead.
Opportunity. Just wanted to understand if there is any update on the JT Cooler piece of the business?
JT Coolers comes from, you know, defense industry. So as we have informed earlier also, it takes a lot of time. You know, that's how the defense industry in India works. We are in touch with the France and Israel, you know, makers. But frankly speaking, it will take time.
Okay. Okay. And in the export segment, which other markets are we seeing for growth? Because it may turn out to be tough time, and we don't know how long this will last.
Will you please repeat the question?
So I was just saying, which other markets are we seeing for growth? So for example, in Ukraine, if things go well, then there will be a rebuilding of everything. So
you're talking of any particular segment or in general?
In general, and naturally scaffolding, yeah.
So, you know, India is clearly is one of the top markets. There is a very good opportunity for growth. Saudi Arabia is another market where we have just started. South America is another market where we have just started. We have started sales of Mac 1 there. These are some of the markets. Europe, of course, we are already there. But I think in terms of markets, other than our traditional markets where significant growth can come from, I would say South America and Saudi Arabia.
Okay. And we have a distributor network placed in over there?
In both these countries, yes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Riya Mehta from Equitas. Please go ahead.
Thank you for my follow-up question. What will be your fixed cost in textile division?
Fixed cost?
That's different. Yeah, see, in textile we have yarn, we have fabric, we have garments. So every division has a different fixed cost.
On a very average basis.
No, one cannot quantify that. It all depends upon which segment you are talking about.
No, but we can share the data.
Yeah, we can
pull it out and share it. I don't know if you have it right now. Offline.
No, not right now. Because
let's give it offline.
So we'll give it, Riya. No problems.
Yeah, sure. Okay, that's it from my end.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chintan Modi from Hetam Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thank you for the follow-up. Sir, with respect to the foamwork business, for the customer, I believe it would be an OPEX cost. Is that understanding correct?
No, it will be a capex cost for the customer. Formwork is always a capex cost.
Okay. Okay. Understood. And secondly, is there a rental model that you are exploring within this?
There is a very active rental model, but we don't directly rent. You know, there are rental companies. So in India, what we have done is we have got distributors. And these distributors, they buy from us and they rent. So there is a large market that is actually growing in India for rental. And to cater to that, what we are doing is we are setting up our partner network and these companies are buying from us and renting. The reason why we don't directly rent is because renting also requires you to invest in refurbishment and you need separate facilities, large facilities, so it's better serviced countrywide through a partner network. So we are actually developing that.
Perfect, perfect. And sir, real estate is typically a cyclical business. So you think we will also follow the same cycle or it's more a linear for us considering we would be exploring new markets and also, you know, another question, same link to it, that it is whether are there any specific markets within India where we are particularly very strong right now and which would be those other markets where we would want to explore?
Yes, real estate is definitely a cyclic business. Currently, we are on upswing in the cycle in India. You know, we expect this to go on for several years. But to de-risk ourselves from the cycles, we are expanded geographically, so we are not just in India, we are in other countries as well. Within India, we are currently very strong in obviously the western region, Mumbai metropolitan region, Mumbai, Pune, so on, and also the southern territory comprising Hyderabad, Bangalore, Chennai, these territories. They are constituting currently the lion's share of our sales in Mac 1. Going forward, tier 2, tier 3 cities are coming up strongly. We've started selling in even small cities like Surat, Jaipur, and so on. So that's how it is.
Got it. Professor, that was very helpful. Thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Nihar Shah from Ikigai Asset Manager. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just wanted some clarification on the scaffolding division. I think an earlier participant, you mentioned that we were looking at the foamwork business in a sort of a 400 crore sort of a jump up this year. And you mentioned that because of the tariff uncertainty, we may be kind of flattish to slight growth in terms of the scaffolding division. So just, you know, that math implies that we're looking at about a 30-35% drop in the scaffolding portion of the business. Is that how you're looking at it as well?
Again, I would repeat, it's difficult for us to give a guidance for the scaffolding part of the business. I can tell you last year, out of the 1250 crore total segment revenue, formwork was about 550 and scaffolding was about 700. We are pretty confident that formwork will grow to 950 this year from 550. Whether scaffolding will remain at 700, whether scaffolding will drop to 500, whether it will grow to 800, very difficult to say right now, because the severity of the tariff impact will only be visible in the subsequent ensuing quarters. And I can only say that US is a key driving factor in our overall scaffolding sale. So how the customers react and how much spending gets impacted is going to be a key driving factor. And I think this quarter is going to be actually very significant, because most of the key announcements have just happened. So July, August, September, what happens is going to give us more clarity on the remaining two quarters.
Got it. And the demand deterioration you mentioned in the US that you're seeing in July and August, that is a function of the increase in tariff, or there is some, you know, just general postponement of CAPEX from the ground?
The postponement of CAPEX is primarily attributed to the tariff, because, you know, the industry is completely dependent on imports. There is literally no domestic production. And with the cost escalation that they are seeing, they are weighing options and seeing if they can defer purchases.
Got it. Clear. Thanks for the clarification.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take this as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Yes, thank you. So thank you very much to all the participants for these engaging Q&A on our first quarter results. We hope to continue our interactions, and please feel free to reach out directly to us if you have any further follow-up questions. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you. On behalf of Batliwala and Karani Securities India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
I am not.